Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sean Salisbury with us, AM 790 in Houston, the former NFL quarterback. Sean, I know you've been a big Baker guy. Well, that finally paid off. He played well Thursday night football. Good to have you with us, but he played well Thursday night against the Bengals, no doubt.
He did, and I love the early energy, and you could tell, guys. We know when Manning and Brady played. I'm not comparing the two, but you'll get my point. They brought out the best at each other. Joe Burrow comes to town. He's in Cincinnati. I mean, you know, in the state I'm talking about when I say comes to town, he's the first pick of the draft. There's been a lot of talk in Cleveland. Two guys get together, you maybe build a decade-plus rivalry in the division. It brought out energy, and I loved right off the bat how Stefanski got him on the edge. That bootleg left, bootleg right, got him going, and then settled in. And remember what I told you guys last week now? I said, run the football, Chubb 23 for about a buck 24, 25, Hunt 10 for 86. But I said, bore me with your football game. Brett Baker Mayfield.
Right, you did.
I said, go 18 of 21 or 22 for 222 yards and two touchdowns. And I was looking at the numbers again. He averaged 9.5 yards an attempt. I'm not a big stat guy, but just to validate what happens when you run the football and game plan it right and don't throw it 45 times, he was 16 of 23 for 219 and two touchdowns. So he bored me now, as I said last week, and people don't want to hear it. Just bore me for two or three more weeks. Make the spectacular play when it's there. Move chains. Average 9 yards and a half per attempt, and we're going to do fine. And when you run the football for over 200 yards or right around it, you got a really good chance of winning. I loved the game plan. And Cincinnati, trust me, Cincinnati with Burrow is going to build something eventually, and an in-state rivalry gets competitive. So I loved that he bored me with completions, and look at the result, and a good game plan. And you beat a team that had to throw 60-plus times, but it was a fun watch last week. There was the most energy that I've seen in the early season in a stadium. Maybe it was a few people, but it was just – there was an energy, and maybe it was the two young fellas getting after it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun game. It was like an old-school, you know, college football shootout. So 35-30, the final score. That's like typically, you know, a Big 12 score, an SEC score. But you're right, it was fun to see. The question I have, Sean, is, you know, when Baker goes up against better defenses, how's he hold up? You know, when he goes up against the Cowboys in 2 weeks, you know, when he goes up against the Steelers defensive front and the Ravens again, I mean, Baker has proven that he can beat bad teams or average teams. He hasn't proven yet that he can beat good teams.
Well, and Dustin, it's a great point, and I would say, let's see, they got Washington this week, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... which is not a real good football team. But I will tell you this. In about 3 years, you know who's going to have the best front, the best down lineman in the league for a team? Keep an eye on that team. Their front seven, they're five or six deep with their hand on the ground in Washington. They will relentlessly get after you. So he's going to face some of that. And he'll watch on tape and this week knowing that they get after you now. There's a lot of weaknesses on that team. One of them ain't energy and effort up front, so the pressure and going in. And you're exactly right. And here's what I would say if I was sitting in with him all week. Just because, and not just this week, but as the competition gets better. It isn't the structure of what we do. When I'm playing a game and I'm teaching mechanics, I don't teach a quarterback, hey, against good teams, make sure your mechanics are solid. Against bad teams, make sure your mechanics kind of suck ass. you know, and then you'll just get by yeah. by natural ability. I teach it opposite. Make sure against those teams you're supposed to beat that your mechanics stay sound. Because once you've practiced it over and over and over again, like hitting golf shots or dusting to tennis shots by you
yeah.
or whatever it is, the mechanics don't break down under pressure. So like this week, for instance, continue to go through your progressions and hang on for a second. Hold your water a little bit. You get to the first one, the second one, third one. We're going to change your launch point. We're going to get you on the edge so you can get that energy going. We're going to set up off play action, which he's been good at throughout his career in college and in the NFL. Then we're going to set you in three-step and get it out in rhythm. So for me, it's to settle in against these times. It's like a, I don't want to say a scrimmage game because these are pros, but make sure you're not, you don't, your energy is going to elevate automatically when you're playing Dallas or you're playing the Chiefs of the world. So just settle in and mechanically focus on the things against teams. This is a perfect time to say, let me do this right. So when I'm facing duress in the third quarter against the Dallas Cowboys and DeMarcus Lawrence is coming off the edge, I settle in and go through my progressions because there's certain parts, things change offensively in play calling. But the basic fundamentals, Dustin and Bull, when cover mm-hmm. two's been cover two for how long? Forever.
Forever.
That's always going to be cover two and how you play it and where the guys are supposed to be. It's the same with mechanics of the quarterback. The reads for going through your progression of one, two, three, and then bail or throw it away, that's not changing. And the mechanics of good football doesn't change a good hitter, a good jump shooter. It's the same here. So, yes, you're exactly right. But I think that if he'll just allow his progressions to happen versus good teams, then and by working on it through teams you're supposed to beat, it's fine. Because in order to get where they want to go eventually, they're going to have to beat good teams or they're going to be watching in January again.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, AM 790. Sean, you talked about being a little boring and being a game manager, and people don't like that term. But when you have the running game talent that the Browns have, which is probably unmatched in terms of a pair of running backs, that's exactly what you should do. It was a good call by you, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, that just, you know, Chubb beat him up in the first half, and then Kareem Hunt put him to bed in the second half.
Okay, well, and look around just some of the AFC stuff even last year.
Yeah,
how good was Baltimore running the football?
Phenomenal.
How good is Tennessee running the football?
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, good was San Francisco running the football in the NFC?
Yeah.
So point is that no matter what, we were in an offensive, let it out, air it out league, and you got to have that cat. We know Mahomes and Wilson, and you got to have him. But you think right about it. Now you tell me. I'm going to tell you. For instance, the Texans are playing Pittsburgh. If Ben Roethlisberger goes 21-25 this week, and they throw under 30, they're winning. They're going to win the game, which means they physically dominated the line of scrimmage. It's not they may have the best running game in Cleveland. This is the best 1-2 punch in the league, period.
Yeah.
You may get teams that have four dudes. I don't know about 1 and 2. This is the best because both are number ones that are sharing time. And people don't want to hear game manager. But I'll ask you guys this. Who's the greatest game manager in the history of this game?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Yeah. Tom Brady. Manning ain't far behind, and Drew Brees. So now, and Joe Montana. Joe Montana wasn't. Listen, I worked out with Steve Young when I came into the league. We would go throw in Provo, Utah, and Steve was there. And we were throwing comebacks. I'm telling you the truth about this. That's a fact. And Steve was in San Francisco, and Joe had been hurt, and Steve had played. We knew what Steve was going to be. And we're throwing comebacks, and I'm a big 6'5", 203, throw at 100 miles an hour. And I'm putting my foot in the ground and ripping comebacks, 22 back to 20. And Steve's throwing them, and there's a little speed bump on it. And I'm like, when are you going to start throwing it? And he says, Sean, this is how we throw it with Bill Walsh. This is how Joe and I throw it. And it was one day just throwing it on time. And by the end of the day, we're throwing. My arm's haggard. He's throwing a little bit sooner than I am with anticipation. I'm waiting a little longer. And we're giving guys, that, you know, just throwing routes to guys who were playing in the league that we'd all get together. And then I learned a great lesson is that Montana, I go through the greatest game managers in the world win Super Bowls. So I see it's the greatest compliment you can give a player. So I know we want the flair. But what do you want, 16 of 23 and 200 yards and two touchdowns and a win? Or do you want 61 throws and 400 yards or whatever it is and a loss? Now, do you want the Pat Mahomes ability to go win with all those weapons and then be able to run it? Yeah, but I got news for you. There's a lot of teams that would beg to run it like Cleveland does. So for me, boring doesn't mean bad. Game manager doesn't mean bad. If you have the ability, which Baker does, that if we need you to throw 35 times in a game in a shootout, we can. But I'd rather just have you not take the punishment, throw it 22 to 28, 29 times, and then every now and then again, if we need it, we'll let it rip. But you're going to win a lot of games running for 200 yards, protecting the football, throwing two touchdowns, and not having to throw for 5,100 yards during a season. So I always laugh when people say, and I talked to a head coach in league once, he said, the greatest compliment I can ever give my quarterback is labeling him a game manager. That doesn't mean you're not a big-time player. It just means you're not. Drew Brees, pretty good game manager, and Denny Green used to always tell us, and he'd tell me right to my face when I'd got to start and when somebody'd get hurt and I had to play for 3 weeks. He simply said, drive the bus. Get us there safely. Now, that was a backup going to starter. Now you got a starter who's the first pick of the draft, who's got ability. Get us there safely. Your natural ability is going to take over. You don't have to do more, especially with that running game. Defenses are already scared to death of the running game. You're going to have windows like you did in college if you'll just do it right, and Stefanski will be patient with it.
Sean, just to piggyback your point, I had another follow-up question with the throws you're talking about with Steve Young and Provo and all that stuff. You know, he didn't throw it quite as hard. How important is it for a quarterback to throw touch, you know, to throw a catchable football as opposed to, you said you threw it 100 miles an hour. Well, sometimes as a receiver, you don't like those. You like the ones that you can you can obviously, not soft passes, but something that's more catchable.
And I learned over the course of my, I was fortunate to have North Turner in college and then Brian Billick. And over the course of your career, you learn how to, I call it layering the football. You know, it's a one throw, which is the drive throw, the two, which is the intermediate, a little bit of speed bump on it, and then the second level, and then the three ball where you drop in the bucket and you throw the deep ball. Learned how to do it, which helped me last 10 years, but fastballs don't always work. Sometimes you got to go Zach Greinke on him and throw a little changeup pitch and come 72 on him. You do. Mm-hmm. There's a time to place when you throw to a coffee can size window where it's tight man-to-man coverage and you got to rip it. But honestly, there's not many times in a game, if you throw 35 times, because if you're throwing that many balls to that tight of windows, either you don't get separation or you're going to get a tip ball, you're going to be in trouble. But you got to anticipate. And to me, and look at Josh Allen. The reason he continues to elevate his play, and when he first came in the league, he wound up and wanted to be Aroldis Chapman. But let's go. And now look at him. They've worked with him. He's a little bit more touch. And he may miss a ball, but he doesn't let it fester. He doesn't stay in that miss 5, 6, 8, 10 throws in a row. So the touch of the football, listen, you got to be able to ramp it up sometimes. But if you'll anticipate and you will throw people open, big strong arm guys like to wait till people get open because they're just so physically gifted. It's the guy who decides that if you're even, you're leaving. Boom, he got a step. He's got a yard. 2 yards in the NFL. If you got a 2 yard cushion and you can throw to windows 2-3 yards and you're not in the Pro Bowl, if you got a good team, then you can't play in this league. So Josh Allen's a perfect example of, listen, you don't have to beat me up with the football. A little drop shot on the corner route. Throw the ball a little earlier on the 10 to 12 yard out cut before the guy comes out of his break. Anticipation, understanding coverage, and being able to throw people open will sustain you. There's a reason why Steve Young is wearing a mustard colored jacket. And I wasn't, okay, because he understood it sooner. And it was the thing. Steve Young couldn't throw it very hard or very far, but you look at his numbers and look at Super Bowls and look at the way he played, the guy was phenomenal. His anticipation and the trust to throw people open. When you finally get to that point, you elevate to a new level. And touch is important as it gets. Being able to drop it in and understanding coverage and when to throw it, it's an innate ability that you have to learn or you don't last long in the league. Fastballs are good, but pro baseball players hit fastballs that don't move. Pro baseball players don't hit curveballs or fastballs up that they can't get to after you've bent two curveballs on the outside part of the plate. Same with quarterback. You got to layer throws.
You know, you mentioned baseball. I was going to do one more football question, but let's wrap it up with a baseball question here because you know, the Astros, the team you cover there, Sean, They've not been good this year, although they are going to the playoffs.
Right.
They haven't been good, but the West stinks outside of Oakland, so they're going to the playoffs because they're grabbing that 2 seed. And there's really only 6 good teams in the American League, maybe 7 if you include the Blue Jays. But I was talking about before, briefly, like, you look at some of these guys in the Astros that have had miserable years. Altuve's been awful this year. Correa's been pretty bad this year. Gurriel's not been good this year. Bregman's not been good this year. All right, is it – now, there's a lot of other – there's superstars on other teams that are not performing either. Is it – it's the weirdness, it's the COVID, it's the 1 year, 60 games, let's throw it out? Or is it fair to say, look, they don't have their garbage can banging anymore, that's why these guys are struggling? Or a combination of both?
I think it would be irresponsible if I said that's the only reason, because I think back at Altuve – I'll just use him as an example. I think back at Altuve – and I'm a diehard Sox fan. You guys know that.
Yeah, we know.
But
yep.
Altuve – yeah, you guys in Cleveland know. He's had great success over his career. Now, do I believe on him that and some of these guys, not only the physical – listen, I'd be naive also on the other side to say, well, is there some of that missing? Hell, yeah. If I didn't own the coverage every time I dropped back to throw, I would have played 20 years, and I probably would have started – more often than I played backup if I didn't own the coverage and then be able to finish the play. When I know it, hell, if I knew the answers to the SAT test, I'd have scored 1,600 and been perfect.
That's right. Why
you study. But, yeah, I there's no doubt in my mind. I think the mental grind and emotional grind, and that's even been without fans in the stands grinding on them. Do I think that I may have something to do with it? I do. Do I think it's been taxing? Yes. And on the physical side, do I think if you knew it was coming, it's an advantage? Yeah. So, but I also think short season, they've been banged up. I'm not making excuses. Listen. They couldn't hit the ocean if they were standing in the in a boat and jumped in the water right now, most of them, other than Kyle Tucker, who in the past has struggled, and now he's living up to the expectations. So do I think that there's a little bit of all of it? Guys been banged up. Maybe they've lost a little confidence because they don't have a crutch. Maybe it's just one of those years. Maybe it's COVID. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I understand why people across the country would say – wonder why they're not hitting great again this year. There's no question it begs the question, no doubt.
Sean, great stuff as always, man. Always good to catch up with you. Browns will play Washington this week. The Texans have had a hell of a start to their schedule with the Chiefs and the Ravens. They're 0-2.
Well, you can't stop the run. You can't protect your quarterback. You ain't going to win, and they're not going to win against Pittsburgh either if it continues. I look forward to it, guys. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Sean.
Appreciate it as always.
Sean Salisbury.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.